My name is Philip Cote, and my traditional name is Nochmon Muskogiash, which means healer and red seagull. This is my original name. Muskogiash is the family name before Cote. The name changed with my great-grandfather, who was needed to find a way to support his family, so he had to leave the reserve. And in those days, they had a pass system, and he decided since he was leaving the reserve, he might as well change his name to fit into society better. And so that's what he did. He ended up changing the name to Philip Cote. So I think that's an important angle in terms of survival. He knew that in order for him to get work, a common name, especially a common French name, would help him, because he was looking for work up in North Bay. And probably most people today don't realize, but North Bay is a large French-speaking community, and has been since the early settler days. So there in a nutshell is my name, what it means. Red Seagull. Red Seagull is an important name. And I didn't realize it was until an elder told me that he knew what my name meant, and did I know? And I said, of course, I didn't, what it really meant. But he began to tell me a story about the animals a long time ago, how they all received gifts, and each animal were showing each other how special their gifts were, except for the red seagull, of course. And the red seagull decided that his gift was private, and it was just for him, and he didn't really want to share it with anybody else. All the animals got together, and they decided it was important that they find out what his gift was, because everybody else knew each other's except for his, the red seagulls. And so they decided to plan a way of scaring it out of him. So they tried scaring it out of him by surprising him, but it didn't work. So this last time they decided they would throw a pile of thorns in behind him, and they would talk to him and back him into the corner where the thorns were. And so they did, and the red seagull let out a big yell, and he dropped his bundle, and out came the sun. And the sun's been traveling around the earth ever since. So that's the power of the red seagull. And I think it's a pretty special story that that's what that name means. And we've had the name Cote for a long time, and I always wondered how we got this name. But that's my real name, Muskogiash. Anyways, I'm Shawnee, Lakota, Potawatomi, Ojibwe, Algonquin, Mohawk, and Mississauga. And I have all these different ancestries connected with these different nations because our family intermarried a lot since probably the War of 1812, when one of my first ancestors way back when is Tecumseh, is a well-known indigenous leader during those years, you know, before the War of 1812. Anyways, he was a well-known individual, and he was gifted. He was gifted in the battle, and he's gifted visionary. And I have another ancestor that's from that same side of the family. His name is Chief Chechok, and he's one of the signers of the Toronto Purchase. And so I have this amazing leadership in my family that comes from my mother's lineage, and my father is Algonquin and Mohawk, and we've been slowly finding information out about that side of the family too. But I'm a pipe carrier, a sun dancer, a sweat lodge leader. I belong to the Eagle Society and False Face Society. And that activity of culture and cosmology influenced my artwork. Especially for the work that is being posted up here in the TTC. That work is based on the woodland style painting. And the woodland style painting has the Anishinaabe Ojibwe cosmology embedded into the designs, and the reasons for a lot of style in that painting comes from connections to the original story of the Anishinaabe Ojibwe people. Miigwech. So the work that's going to be going into the TTC is, the piece is called The Original Family. And it's an important story because it's about the beginning of the Anishinaabe Ojibwe people. It's the creation story. And it represents our cosmology and it represents a narrative that was invisible for a long time until recent times. And I think the beginning of those changes happened in the 60s when our culture and our activities around that culture, and even drumming and things, were outlawed until then. And so people could not practice that culture openly until the 1960s. And so a lot of people don't know this, that this law was put down in order to keep Indigenous people from having connections to their identity, which is the culture. So if you stop participating in your culture, you stop practicing your language, you begin to lose the sense of identity. So for me, that's the significance of this artwork, and that's why it's important to have it in this TTC campaign, bringing Indigenous stories and artwork into the mainstream, where a large population of this city can get a chance to see some of these works and maybe appreciate what they're looking at and where these stories come from, in order to make these paintings, Indigenous narratives come to life. And, you know, a lot of what our culture is connected to rituals, and the rituals are tied into the land. And for a lot of academics, it's known as land-based pedagogy. So meaning that all of our knowledge and wisdom is actually coming from the land and the observation of that land over thousands of years, you know, because we have a different story than the settlers do today. And it's going to remain separate, because it's we don't acknowledge the archaeology that's been done to date, telling a story that we've only been here 12,000 years, or maybe a little more now, because I've seen that there's been more archaeological finds over the last decade or so that have brought that date up to 40,000 years. But even that is too a low amount. According to our elders, we've been here for two ice ages, and that means if you'd look up how long ago two ice ages, it's a million years. So our stories are so far apart. But I think it's important that we tell that story, regardless of whether or not the settlers recognize it or not. I think it's up to us to recognize our own stories, and it's not up to the settlers to tell us if our stories are accurate or not. So that's another good reason to have these stories in public spaces, so we can begin to bring this new version of who Indigenous people are to the forefront, into a common place. Indigenous people have been practicing this storytelling in public spaces for a very long time. You know, we have these rock art all across North America. Rock art's been around for thousands of years, probably 10,000 years or more. But the rock art is a way that we used to tell our stories, and we used to tell significant things that happened in certain places across the land. And so, you know, putting artwork into the subway or to the streetcars or to the buses isn't far from creating that rock art that tells our population that this is our story, and this is who we are, and this is where we come from. So it's important, because it breaks down this other narrative that that dominated the scenes for 500 years now. So ever since the arrival of the settlers, their narratives are the ones that have been told. It's not our narratives. And so now our narratives are beginning to emerge and rise to the surface and awaken not only our own communities, but awaken the settler community as to who we really are. So our culture is in these narratives, and also our cosmology and our history are in these narratives, which I think is really vital to the future of our young people, so that they get a sense of identity and a sense of reason why they're here. So, Miigwech. Okay, so the question is, tell me why you feel it is important to share Indigenous ways of expression on the TTC. Well, I kind of mentioned it a little bit there about the rock art, and how that was one way in which we shared our stories over time. And it's important when you think about that, because, you know, today everything is so instant. Everything, food, stories, how you get entertained. And a lot of that kind of long-term thinking has vanished from the landscape. So when you think about indigenous people and you think about rock art or petroglyphs, pictographs, or petroforms, these are all ways in which indigenous people communicated over time and even over vast distances, because a lot of the stories that you see in one location are again repeated in different locations across the land. So this is our way of transmitting a message that was important at one time, and it remains important because these pictographs and petroglyphs and petroforms have been around for thousands of years. So when you paint one of these images that tells a story on a rock wall and it's sitting there for 4,000 years, it's an important story that even today, because you know, when you think about colonialism and how colonialism pretty much wiped away the history of the indigenous people over the last 500 years and all the history before that, because, you know, when you think about indigenous people, we have to think we're going back thousands of years. And when we think about settlers arriving, we're only going back 500 years. It's a very short time compared to how long the indigenous people have been on the land. So I think that's a really important kind of reckoning, that we are looking at long-term thinking, especially when it comes to giving messages in public spaces. These are old messages that are being transmitted to a new generation of young people who might not know the story or who might not have a sense of pride about who they are and where they come from. But these messages by me as an artist are positive, and they're meant to enlighten everyone, not just indigenous people, but everyone. And I think this is important in the times we are at, because we are in these times where, you know, we have a different kind of language when we look at the way indigenous people are received across this country. The education system is beginning to turn and in favor of indigenous people being able to have a narrative. And I think that's important, you know, having that ability to tell your story the way it was told to you from generation to generation. And we're talking, you know, a few hundred generations, or maybe even 1,000 generations. We're going back, or maybe even further even than that, because, you know, if we talk about some of the stories of these elders talking about us being here for two ice ages, we're going to go back a million years. That means that our stories, some of these stories are a million years old, especially if we're talking about the original man and how he arrived here. So I think that's a really eye-opening kind of revelation for a lot of people. Because, you know, all of us have been conditioned by the system the way it is. And so it's really hard to change these things. But the only way to change them is to put it out there and make it happen. And so I'm glad that this work is being put in such a great place as the public transit. TTC is a perfect place to share these kinds of stories. And I'm happy to be part of this project. So miigwech, everyone.